Easter. What a wonderful time. Easter Sunday is happening. We got a lot of things to remember and a lot of things to go through that shows us how he's working and what he's doing in our lives today. That's really exciting. I was just in Holdridge, and we did a seminar for spiritual warfare and spiritual mapping of the town of Holdridge. They're mostly Swedish there. I said, hey, I can relate to you. Okay? But one problem, the one difficulty Swedish people have, I'm 100% Swede. The one difficulty we have is we're too neutral. We're neutral. See, we've got to make decisions and stand with things because let our neutrality go. Anyway, one of the things that really popped out in that seminar, we had about 35, 40 people in the morning, and then we went out to the city of Holdridge to pray. Had a great time in prayer, came back and gave reports. But one of the things that happened during the seminar is people would say, hey, I got a prayer meeting at the city auditorium on Thursday mornings, if anybody can come. And people said, oh, I didn't know about that one. And then somebody else said, I got a prayer meeting in the coffee shop Tuesday afternoon. And they said, I didn't know about that one. I'll come. So there was about five or six different leaders that had prayer meetings in Holdridge during the week. And everybody said, we didn't know. But they do now. And those prayer meetings are increasing in size. The cool thing is that whenever we see an outpouring of God's Spirit, changes come. But you can always trace the outpourings of God and the revivals back to someone or some people who have been praying. You can always trace it back. So they're going to experience some breakthroughs here, I think, in Holdridge. It was a fun time. I think I told you the last time I was here, a year ago, we had the outpouring of God's Spirit in Asbury in Kentucky, Asbury University. And it went, it was just a chapel meeting. The chapel meeting started in the morning, they didn't close. They went all through the afternoon. Then they went all through the night. And then they went all the next day. And they went all through the next night. And then they went all the next day. It went 24 hours a day, a chapel service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 weeks. And it was still not finished at the end of 3 weeks, but the administration said, the leaders said, we're really afraid of the building. You're going to hurt our building because it's an old building. And, you know, you guys are jumping up and down in there. And we can't have this revival happening anymore. That was the leaders of the university. So they moved it across the street. Well, it continued. It actually went, that's in Kentucky. It went up to Tennessee and it came down to the Carolinas, hitting university campuses, hitting Georgia, Texas A&M, and moved a lot across the South in universities, an outpouring of God's Spirit. It was a revival. It was wonderful. I'd call it a MOG. Okay, you know what an MOG is? Yeah, move of God. That's what an MOG is. So this thing happened, continued happening. Well, the last time I spoke here, it had just happened in Florida State University. 4,500 people students come to a worship meeting. They start giving their lives to Jesus by the end of the worship time, kind of like the worship we had this morning. Did you notice that? Like Pastor Larry said, ooh, I could just stand here in it. We linger in his presence. When he's present, can't get people to leave. When he's present. And so they, this Florida State University, the worship was so wonderful, and then they gave a challenge to believe in Jesus. Out of the 4,500, hundreds went forward to give their lives to Jesus. And then what happened is it's midnight, so they baptized him in the fountain on the campus. Okay, it just happened Wednesday night again. Wednesday night, 27th, I think, of March. Just happened at University of Alabama. University of Alabama. The students had a large worship time. It was another Christian band that came, and they had this worship time. Thousands of students were there worshiping God, and by the end, hundreds of people came forward to accept Christ. And it's midnight again, so they took him out in the fountain and baptized him in the fountain at the University of Alabama. That's Crimson Tide. I guess the Crimson Tide of Jesus' blood swept across that campus. So the next one, I think, is Georgia Tech. So be watching. You got to dig for this information. This is not on the 5:30 news. You will not see it in the newspaper. But it's happening in campuses across the United States. Actually, it's happening in campuses across the planet. And you never hear a thing about it. Thousands worshiping Jesus, hundreds coming into relationship with him. Okay, so remember that. M-O-G, move of God. And we're going to talk about the big move of God today, Easter Sunday. That was a move of God. When there's a move of God like this, the wonderful things happen. Right? Easter Sunday. Right? So we're going to talk about a few of those things, and then we're also going to look at what that did for us today. Ramadan, remember Ramadan, the Muslim 30 days of prayer is going on right now. There's only 8 days left. Now, it used to be the last 2 days was called the Night of Power in Ramadan. But they stretch it to even a week. The week is called the Night of Power. What Muslims are asking for is they're asking for dreams. 80% of the Muslims who have come to Christ in the last 26 years, 80% of them, have been because of a dream. Okay, so I have a business card that says, my name, Yosef, interpreter of dreams, with a phone number where they can reach me. And so my Muslim friends, I give them my business card, Yosef, interpreter of dreams, with a number. And we can join in with what God's doing among Muslim peoples around the world by asking God to give them dreams, particularly these next 8 days, all right? It's really simple. We're all going to pray this together. We're going to say, God, give the Muslims dreams. God, give the Muslims dreams, okay? Is that all right? You ready? 1, 2, 3. God, give the Muslims dreams. It was not that difficult, was it? Nobody's even sweating. No, this is not work, okay? You can join with what God is doing among Muslim peoples around the world by praying that for the next 8 days particularly. Okay? All right. Give them dreams. All right, let's go to the next one. What Jesus did was planned and prophesied. Starts with Genesis 3:15. And you know that where God says to the enemy, says the seed of the woman, Jesus in the future. He didn't have the name Jesus yet. They didn't have the name Jesus till Mary named him Jesus, all right? So he said, the seed of the woman, Jesus, that's in parentheses, is going to crush your head. You'll bruise his heel a little bit, but he's going to crush your head. Okay, that was the first time, Genesis 3:15. Timing was significant. Let's go to the next one. Hebrews 1:1. I love this verse. Okay, this is so good. You can read it up here. You can follow along in your Bible. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:1, throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at the time, building one truth upon another. That's all through history. And then actually the next verse, I don't have it up there. The next verse says, today he speaks through his son. Okay, that's the next verse of that one. Okay, go ahead. Next. Jesus told this to his disciples, that he was going to be crucified. And yet when it happened, they said, what's going on? He told them. Here's the verse that says that. From then on, Jesus began clearly to reveal to his disciples that he was destined to go to Jerusalem, suffer injustice from the elders, leading priests, and religious scholars. He also explained to them that he would be killed, 3 days later be raised to life again. Okay, Matthew 16. Matthew 17 says, when they all gathered together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, Son of Man is going to be betrayed and turned over to his enemies. They will kill him. In 3 days he will be resurrected. When the disciples heard these words, they were devastated. Next one. Jesus says in Matthew 20. These are all Matthew. 16:17-20. Listen to me. We're on our way to Jerusalem. I need to remind you that the Son of Man will be handed over to religious leaders and scholars, and they will sentence him to be executed. And they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, tortured, and crucified. Yet 3 days later, he'll be raised to life again. They still didn't get it. They should have read Matthew. But they didn't have it. They didn't have it written down yet, right? So they couldn't read it, but he kept telling them over and over and over. Okay, next. This is some of what happened. I always knew there was an earthquake, but I found two earthquakes. Two earthquakes. One at the cross. Some of what happened when Jesus was being died, buried, resurrected. At the cross, the earth shook. The rocks split apart. The graves broke open. And many of God's people who had died were raised to life. They left the graves. And after Jesus rose from the dead, they went into the Jerusalem, the holy city. And many people saw them. They started walking around town. Came out of the grave, started walking around town. So we got the cross. Boom, earth shook. That's when the centurion, whoa, what's happening here? The earth is shaking. It's pitch dark out here. The Roman soldier says, truly, surely this was the Son of God. There's some proof, all right, there, because he started seeing stuff happen. All right, next one. This is at the tomb. Matthew 28:2. We're doing a lot from Matthew today. Matthew 28:2. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. This is a bigger earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven. That, the big angel caused the big earthquake, okay? This is a big angel. Okay? Some people say, oh, they're so small. They're so small. No, they're huge, all right? Most of the angels that I've run into are huge, okay? One I saw out in a field up on Highway 275. Out in the field, but he was as tall as the elevators, okay? Huge. And then naturally the ones I meet are just human size, but they changed to be that way. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven and he rolled the stone away and sat on it. So he's sitting on the big stone. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. That's a big angel that came down, rolled the stone away. All right, next. Now, why did this happen? What did he give to us? This is important for us to really think through this, okay? Hebrews 12:2 says, this is some of the things that Jesus did for us, and I've got a whole list of them here. We're going to go through some of those. The purposes and the plans of this crucifixion, death, burial, crucifixion, and raising again from the dead. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The enduring the cross was difficult for him, but he endured it he saw the joy on the other side. What's the joy? The joy that Jesus saw was relationship with you and me. See, he did this to restore relationship with people and God. Okay, so he did that. He endured what he had to endure so that he could have relationships. And that brings great joy to his heart to know that he will be able to have relationship with you and me even today. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when you see the throne of God, you won't see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting there. It's one throne, and no one has seen God at any time. That's what the Bible tells us. Holy Spirit is in us, moving now. So when we see the throne, we're going to see Jesus. He took on the body forever and ever and ever and ever. So you see his glorified body sitting on the throne. All right? Next. So these are some of the things we talked about it this morning from John 3:16. Okay, God's love for us. But John 3:15 says the same thing. It's one verse before John 3:16. It says, we can receive eternal life. So those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. Okay, so that's eternal life. That's not here. John 10:10 addresses our life here. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they could have life abundantly right now. Life abundantly. Okay, so that's life abundant is today. The future, when you die, is you're going to be with Jesus if you're a follower of Jesus. You'll be with him. That's eternal life or everlasting life. Okay? Ephesians 2, 1 says, his fullness fills you even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sin and offenses. Okay, dead as a doornail because of sin. But his fullness fills you. That's good, isn't it? His fullness fills you now. All right, next one. We have access. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. This is if we're believers in Jesus. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Access. So these are some of the things that happen because of his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, the disciples saw Jesus raise people from the dead. What was the difference between Jesus raising from the dead and the widow of Nain, the city Nain, had her son? They were on the way to the funeral to bury him, and Jesus came by and raised him from the dead. Lazarus in the tomb. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. So the disciples saw this. It was a regular occurrence, seeing Jesus raise somebody from the dead. What's the difference between that and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Lazarus and the widow's son Nain and all the others that he raised from the dead died again. They died again. And they were buried. And if they decided to follow Jesus, they were have everlasting life with him. Okay? Jesus, when he was resurrected, got the glorified body. He's got it. He didn't need to die again. But all the people that he raised from the dead, which were many, and then his disciples saw many people raised from the dead, they still died again. So access. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly into God's presence. All right? Next one. Access. Forgiveness and redemption. That's what we see in John 3:16. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins. And he said he was going to do this. I will forgive your sins. And redemption. That's just a big word. We sang it in one of our songs today. Talk about redeem. Right? Redeem. So in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption is simply this, redeem. We had a team in China, and they were living there in a nicer city up in the mountains. And they wanted to have a little more convenience, so they bought a bicycle. And the wife now could ride to the market, could ride to the store. They said, oh, so much faster. You can ride public transportation, but it's really slow. Okay? It stops every block. So the bicycle was totally convenient. So they had this brand new bicycle, and they were enjoying it for a while. And then it was stolen. The bicycle was stolen from them. So they said, well, I guess we got to go buy a new bicycle. So they went down to the bicycle shop. Had new bikes and used bikes. They saw their bike. Hey, that's my bike. No, it's not. I'm selling those bikes. Those are used bikes. That's my bike. I'm selling it. It's mine. I'm selling it. And she knew it was her bike. She found things on it that were hers. And they said, the only way you can get it is to buy it back from me. So that's, she had to redeem the bike. You see, that's what God did with us. When the enemy stole from us and stole from our relationship with God in the garden, the only way that God could do the get us back is to redeem. He had to pay the price. He paid the price to defeat death and to offer forgiveness of sin. Okay? He redeemed us. That's what that means. Buying back something that's already yours or was yours. Redemption. Okay? We have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All right? Next one. Oh, this is what I like. We got his power. We got his power today. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you, you have his power. Okay? The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's power. If you're a follower of Jesus, he lives in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. That is power. How much power does it take to raise somebody from the dead? Electricity here is about 110, I think, in the United States. You ever put your fingers in the plug accidentally? Ooh, 110. 110. 110 volts. Okay, in Hong Kong, we have 220. And so I was fixing an air conditioner, and I touched both those wires, the red and the blue. I touched them both at the same time, accidentally. And it knocked me across the room. It knocked me back 6 feet. So boom, and I was back against the wall. 6 feet. That was power. But it's still not equivalent to the power that it takes to raise someone from the dead. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me if you're a follower of him. That's power. You want power? There's power. Okay? That is power to raise somebody from the dead. He lives in us. Okay, next one. He gives us authority. And what I find a lot of times as I travel in the United States, I find that a lot of people don't understand the authority that they have by being followers of Jesus. There's a tremendous amount of authority. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 28:19. He says, now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus took all the authority back from the enemy who had the keys to death and hell. He took it back when he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He took it back. And then he says, here, I give it to my followers. I give this authority to my followers. Go and tell others. All right? What do we got next? Authority. Next one. Remember that authority. We need more. We need to understand the authority. The next one, the mind of Christ. We have that. 1 Corinthians 2:16. As the scripture says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who is able to give him advice? We, however, have the mind of Christ. This is Paul writing. We have the mind of Christ so we can understand spiritual things. We can understand the spirit realm. We have this. This is something we have. Remember when Jesus was risen from the dead, who was the first ones at the tomb? Yeah, the ladies. The ladies. And then the ladies came running back to the disciples and said, he's not there. What did the disciples do? Oh, come on. I got to see for myself. Peter and John run out there. After the ladies told him, hey, he's not there. He's not there. Where are you going? Why are you going out there when I just told you he's not there? We need to listen to the ladies. Amen? They told him over and over. He's not there. Don't go there. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. There's nobody there. There was another guy, Cleopas. He was walking down to Emmaus. He was walking down to this other town. And he had another disciple with him. Jesus shows up right next to him and walks with them, but they don't realize it's Jesus until they sit down and have some supper. That's Jesus. And so he gets up and vanishes from their sight. And they say, didn't our hearts burn in us when he opened the scriptures to us? So Cleopas was a brother-in-law of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then Cleopas and the other disciple, we don't know his name, came running back to the other disciples. Hey, he's not in the tomb anymore. We saw him. Oh, come on. So then Jesus has to walk through the wall. Let's say, walks through the wall. Peace. That's why we say that. Huh? Peace. He walks through the wall and sits down with them and says, what's the matter with you? And he rebukes them for their unbelief. Why didn't you believe the ladies when they told you the tomb was empty? Why didn't you believe me on the road to Emmaus when I told you I'm not there? The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. I'm not there. And he rebuked them for their unbelief. They didn't believe what the ladies were telling them. So we need to believe that this is true. We have the mind of Christ. We have forgiveness of sins. We know who he is. We know that he's raised from the dead. Do I have another one on there? You guys can continue this yourselves, or is that it? Okay, so there's a whole bunch more that you can find out what happened at this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and what he did for us, what he makes available for us, his power, his mind. All just following Jesus, and it's all ours. It's all ours. Now, in God's heart and mind, an MOG, a move of God, will lead to missions. Because what is the first thing? Well, the second thing. He rebuked them for their unbelief. But then what did he say? He spent time with the disciples. Disciples grew bigger, more and more in number. What did he say to them? Comes to the Mount of Olives and starts going up in the air. Wasn't that long. He's going up. What does he say? Hey, now you got the authority. Now you got the power. I'm going to give you a little more power on Pentecost. You have the mind of Christ. Here's what I want you to do. This is what he said. Go into some of the world and tell some of the people about Jesus. Go into all the world and tell some of the people about Jesus. Go into all the world and tell all the people about Jesus. That's what he said. Because he expects that people who have a relationship with him and experience with him are going to tell others. In the end of Matthew, he says, I got all authority. Here you go. Now go. So what's going to happen in the MOGs that are happening right now on university campuses around the world? We need to see some people, we need to see all the people coming into relationship with God to go tell others. And we need some of them to go to other countries to tell others. They've witnessed the move of God in their lives. Whenever we have an MOG, it started at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus himself said in his glorified body, go into all the world and tell everybody what happened. That's what God expects from any MOG. It's not a time to just sit and absorb. There's a time for that, sitting and absorbing. But then we go and we tell, we witness to what God has done in our lives and what he's done for other people. We witness to that. An MOG, when there's a move of God, God expects us to go. Okay, so now we got prayer in action. All right? So I didn't put those on a separate thing. This is kind of a study that has developed. So you guys can go into the Bible and find out, what are the benefits of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for me? What are those benefits? I just gave you a few. Okay. I think he's going to show you more. He loves to give you and I revelation. That's just reveal, the long word for revealing. And it's like Jesus is pulling back the curtain and revealing the marvelous, wonderful character of God to you and to me. That's what I think is the effect of the MOG, the move of God, on Easter Sunday, the first Easter. We need to be witnesses of that and then go tell others. The move of God now, same effect. God wants the same effect. So let me close in prayer. And just bow your hearts with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the time to remember Easter. And wow, did you move in power on Easter. You moved in power. And Lord, we're witnesses by reading about it in the scriptures, all the things that happened. And Lord, we believe that you did that for us. And you gave us access. And you gave us power. And you gave us the mind of Christ. Lord, we want to go deeper in relationship with you. And you, would you prepare us to tell others about your great love? About your great love for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things the early Christians did, and they kept saying it over and over, remembering the resurrection, they would say, "He is risen." And the person that they were talking to would say, "He is risen indeed." So let's do that right now. He is risen. Give me a little more volume. He is risen. Amen. And that's the truth. Pastor Larry.
Well, with that, won't we all rise? Thank you, Joe. Lord, we just thank you that you came here today. And Lord, I thank you for each individual that came today. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessing that we received when we received Jesus Christ. Father, I just send everyone out with the blessing that you bestowed upon them today, and that they will be able to take that with them through each day of their lives. We want to give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.